Hello. I'm the PI for this project called the Feasibility of Cover Crops in Dryland Cropping Systems in Southwest Colorado and Southeast Utah. So let's see here. Okay, we have a large group of people from CSU, NRCS, and several farmers. The project is sponsored by Western Serra. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the rationale for this project, objectives and methods, and a little bit of results. Okay, in our area, we have elevation, the project area from 6,500 to 7,000 feet, so relatively short growing season. The annual precipitation where I am is about 15 inches, in the project area is 12 to about 16 inches. June is our driest month. We get a little more moisture here in the late summer, early fall. And our soils, we are prone to soil erosion, wind and water erosion. Due to the topography, we don't have much organic matter. Management practices, there's a lot of tillage. So we tend to get quite a bit for erosion, especially in the spring. And there is a lot of variability from year to year in precipitation. Our cropping, this is all dry land, crop rotations. The main ones are wheat, winter wheat fallow and wheat bean. Yields, you can see here. Anyhow, the yield here, this is Dolores County, which is fairly representative for the project area, are fairly low, on average about 20 bushels, long-term average winter wheat. Dry bean, on average, about 400 pounds per acre, long-term average. So what do we do? Well, maybe we can grow cover crops during the fallow period and enhance the sustainability of these cropping systems. So that's this project. What this project is about. So what we want to do, we hope to increase soil quality and biological activity, also soil fertility, reduce soil erosion, and suppress weeds. Those are the main goals. So this is a three-year project, just started last summer, just a little over a year old. So we have about six on-farm trials representing three crop rotations, wheat fallow, wheat safflower fallow, wheat sunflower fallow, and three management practices, conventional tillage, conventional tillage certified organic and no-till, and two replicated trials at the research center. So this is what we have been measuring: soil water content and infiltration rate, traditional soil test analysis. We're also doing the Haney and the Cornell, but I'm not going to say much about this due to time constraints, and PLFA, soil microbial community. We also measure canopy and ground cover, plant biomass, and yield quality, yield and quality, and keep track of costs and returns. So these are the ones we tested last year, fall of 2015 and spring of 2016. So we have all these functional groups that we have legumes, we have grasses like sorghum Sudan grass, millet, teff, and brassicas like nitro radish, and then others like sunflower, buckwheat. So the proportion will vary depending on the goal that we're after. So these are mixes from five species to nine species, and these are the pounds per acre seeding rates. Okay, at the research center we had three mixes last fall that we planted last fall is in a wheat fallow, no-till wheat fallow rotation. This fall here, fall 2016, we planted five mixes from four species to nine species, and then we're going to plant three more mixes next spring. Okay, I'm going to just give you some results here, and you know, in our area, in a lot of semi-arid environment, water is the number one limiting factor, so obviously we looked at soil moisture. So these are from three tests, three locations here. This was done in the spring. So there is the fallow treatment, cover crop treatment, in the top 2 feet of soil. So here we have a little more water after in the fallow treatment than after cover crops. So about a little over, about half inch more available water than in the fallow than after cover crop. In the other treatment where we did the measurements in the fall before wheat planting, it was very dry, still fallow treatment had more available moisture and hardly any available moisture in the top 2 feet after cover crops. At the research center, we used the Giddings probe. This is here, the brown is after cover crops, and the green here in the fallow treatment. So in the cover crop, after cover crops, we were able to sample down to about 20 inches. And it was very dry, extremely dry. In the fallow treatment, there was a lot more moisture down to 4 feet and even below 4 feet. So the first one here, we planted the cover crops in the late September of 2015 and terminated it on June 10th of 2016. And then we also again sampled it in September 2016 before planting winter wheat. There was a little bit of recharge in the top foot here after cover crops, but then it was very dry below the first foot. And again, there was a lot more moisture in the fallow treatment than after cover crops. We did infiltration tests with the Cornell infiltrometer. And you see some couple of the farmers' sites here. The infiltration rate was actually lower after cover crops than in the fallow treatment, both these two locations here. But at the research center, it was the reverse. The infiltration rate was significantly higher after cover crops than in the fallow treatment. So we also looked at some of the nutrients, and I'm just going to show you a couple things here. Potassium, our soils are not deficient in potassium, so it's not a concern. So here what I'm going to show you here, the nitrate nitrogen was much higher, about twice as much in the fallow treatment than after cover crops. Solvita, which is a measure of soil respiration, biological activity was about the same. Organic C-N ratio was higher in the fallow, I don't know why, than after cover crops. Same thing, so this was at farmer's field. This was at the research center. Again, here I'm not going to talk about phosphorus or potassium. Nitrate, again, was about twice as much in the fallow treatment than after cover crops. These are two mixes here, cover crop mixes. And then, but here the Solvita was higher after cover crops, and this was significant here than in the fallow treatment. CN ratio was much lower at the research center than at the farmer's field, with not much difference between the treatments. So we also did the microbial mass with the PLFA, and at the one of the farmer's fields, it was much higher in the fallow treatment than after cover crops. The diversity index, which look at the ratio of prey to predator, was rated good at this site. At the research center, there was significantly more biomass, microbial biomass in the after cover crops, both mix one and mix two, than in the fallow treatment. But the diversity index was rated average. So we also looked at the biomass at the, and the canopy cover with the transect method. So this is, we had, you know, radishes did pretty well. The stand at this site was okay, not great, but okay. These are the mixes, the species we tested there. So, and this particular cooperator, he had, so he planted cover crops in September 2015, and then he had some cheatgrass problems. So he went and sprayed them in the early spring of 2016, but he couldn't kill the turnips, and he couldn't kill the yellow sweet clover. So what he planted these mixes here, these species. They didn't grow very well. So most of the biomass in 2016 came from the cover crops that were planted in fall of 2015. So this is what in 2015 he had a little less than 1,000 pounds per acre. This is dry matter. 2016 was a little over 1,500 pounds per acre. Again, most of that comes from the cover crops he planted in the fall of 2015. And there was quite a bit more cover, canopy cover in 2016 than 2015. So at the research center, this is a water application here. This is mix one, yellow sweet clover, heavy vetch, winter pea. We had some wheat there, and then we had quite a bit of volunteer wheat. This is where we added winter rye. Canola didn't do much. We didn't get much because we planted late, so they didn't come up very well. They didn't overwinter canola and even turn up also, and also yellow sweet clover. So, but we did have quite a bit of winter peas and hairy veg. So there we have a lot higher biomass, dry matter, 4,000 pounds per acre in both all three mixes. They were also measured how much residue. That was from the stubble from the previous wheat crop. So there was also quite a bit of residue. Canopy cover was about 90%, 64%, 54 to 60% of that was cover crop. There was also, like I said, quite a bit of volunteer wheat, 23 to 35%, and about 90% of ground cover. Not much bare ground. So I'm just gonna tell you these are really very preliminary results. You know, it's a little over a year. So we can't really draw any conclusion, not much. So, but we can say from what I observed, what the team observed, that fall cropping, planting seems to be the best way in our environment right now, unless you can plant early in the spring, which can be challenging at times. But then if you try to plant too early after wheat harvest, then you're going to run into volunteer wheat. I mean, that's a cover crop. But then there are some other problems with it. So and also the choice of cover crops is very important, and management. And we're looking into this. And so there was an increase in biological activity at the research center and soil infiltration rate due to cover crops, which is encouraging. But there was also less water after cover crops and less available nitrogen. That's concerning. We'll see how it's going to affect the succeeding crop. So we have a unique environment. It's very different from eastern Colorado, even central Colorado, much closer to southeastern Utah. So what works in the other parts of the U.S. might not work here. So thank you very much. We did for 1 hour, and we did in the research center two replications. At the farmer's fields, we'll do about two places because that takes quite a bit of time. But we had, you know, it took a while to figure out how to best use that Cornell infiltrometer, but I think it's working pretty well when you figure out how it works and what to do. I think we're pretty confident about the results, the infiltrations.